The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. And we're a couple weeks away from Giants training camp. And those of you who read Big Blue View on a regular basis know that you know, one of my favorite things is to tell players stories. A lot of these guys, especially, you know, some of the undrafted guys, some of the players you may not know as well, have really interesting and really unique stories regarding how they got to the NFL, how their careers unfolded. One of those guys for your New York Giants is Travis Toivonen, wide receiver who joined the practice squad last year and is trying again this year to make the roster. And Travis joins the show today to chat about that story a little bit. So Travis, thank you very, very much for hopping on.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
So you joined the Giants, was it mid-season last year, as on the practice squad, correct?
Yep, I believe it was after week six.
Mm-hmm. And spent the rest of the season on the practice squad. You were never activated for a game on the 53, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
All right. So you have a really, really unique story. And I know that you, I saw the video that you guys did and the story that was posted, I think on 33rd Team that told a lot of that story, but I'm guessing that a lot of Giants fans don't know that story. So let's tell it a little bit. You were an incredibly lightly recruited high school player, you know, coming out of Minnesota, and had what, one college scholarship offer?
Yep, I had one college scholarship offer from the University of North Dakota,
which is an FCS school.
Yep,
right, and that is not the powerhouse North Dakota that people might think of.
Hey, nope.
Right, right. So as things unfolded for you, you had a nice career there. Did you start to get some attention from NFL teams, you know, as your career unfolded?
Yeah, I definitely had some conversations, but it wasn't anything where they were really looking towards me. I knew I wasn't going to get drafted. So it's kind of one of those things where I had a good senior season and I wanted to give it a shot. It's always been my dream to play in the NFL. So it's like, figured, why not train for a few months, give it my best go, and then hopefully make a career for myself.
And that was your final season at North Dakota was 2019.
Yeah, right? That is. So the pro day training was the early months of 2020. Right.
So from there is where it really gets interesting. So I'm pretty much going to, at this point, I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to kind of let you tell your story a little bit, you know, over the next couple of years up to your finally getting your opportunity in the NFL.
Yep. Yeah. So once I finished my senior season at the University of North Dakota, 2019, that was like December 2019, I went home to the Twin Cities area where I'm from in early 2020. And that's where I was pro day training for my pro day at North Dakota in, I believe it was April, maybe it was late March, April. So I had about 3 months to do that. And right when it was like 2 weeks before my pro day, that's kind of when the whole COVID hit. All the scouts got pulled off the roads. They canceled all the pro days. So I didn't get my pro day that year. And that was pretty frustrating for me when it's kind of like, I need to at least get an opportunity to show what I got. I need a chance to, you know, at least show scouts that I can move really well. I can catch the ball really well and give myself a chance. So that was pretty frustrating. And pretty much that entire, the rest of 2020 went by.
Training camps were basically wiped out that year as well, right? Out.
Didn't have any rookie mini camps.
So you got no shot.
I had no chance. At that point, I knew 2020 wasn't going to be the year for me. And I kind of had to make that decision. I was like, am I just going to move on with my life, get a different job, or am I going to kind of play it out for another year and hopefully give myself a chance next year to have a pro day? And I ended up choosing the second of those two options where I was like, I'm going to do anything I can to stay in shape, just keep working out, keep my routes as good as I possibly can, and then hopefully give myself a chance the following season to get noticed.
And I have to ask, the fan-controlled football league, you have to tell me what that's like and how you ended up, you know, just staying in shape and continuing to work and playing in the fan-controlled football league.
Yeah, so throughout 2020, I was pretty much looking for any opportunity to play football, knowing that the NFL wasn't going to be an option that season. And about December of 2020, January, I heard about the fan-controlled football league from a guy from Minnesota who was in my agency, Jackson Erdman. He's actually playing football in Austria right now, but he had signed to go play in that league. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, it's a football league. It'd give me a chance to keep playing football. So kind of looked more into it and ended up flying down to Atlanta to try out, where the trial went well. And then I signed with the Fan Controlled Football League. And it was a 7-on-7 league where the fans would actually call the plays for us. And I played in that from about January to March of 2021.
You got to tell me the truth. Wasn't every play pretty much, you know, fan controlled? Wasn't every play pretty much just, you know, everybody run deep?
Once the fans of my team kind of realized that they had me on their team, that I was a big body receiver, they threw or picked a lot of fade routes, a lot of go routes, just run deep, hoping that the QB would toss it up to me and get a good result.
Hey, that had to be fun. Pretty much just being told, hey, just run down there. You guys playing on arena sized fields too? Basically the 50 yard fields that Arena yeah. League plays on.
It's a 50 yard field. And then the walls were pretty close to the sideline. They weren't the sideline, but they're like 2 feet away. So a lot of guys had collisions with the walls there.
Hockey walls, I think, in a lot of cases, right?
Yeah. Basically they're like padded hockey walls.
that can't feel great.
No, fortunately I didn't have any run-ins with that wall, but some of the other guys did.
Yeah. How many games did you end up playing there? Do you remember?
I believe it was 4 or 5 games. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't very many, but actually it might've been 5 or 6. So yeah.
But enough to put some tape together and enough to stay in the game and maybe get some attention along the way.
Yep. Yeah. We were practicing every day, which I think was probably the biggest part for me, was to just keep, you know, playing football and stay active. So that was kind of the biggest thing for me when I decided to play in that league. I was like, it's going to give me a chance to keep playing football. And that was the most important part.
And then you got an opportunity finally in 2021, just, you know, tell us a little bit about how 2021 and the opportunity with Seattle unfolded.
Yep. So about a month after I finished in the Fan Controlled Football League, the University of Minnesota had a pro day and my agency ended up getting me into that. I'm with IFA in Minneapolis and they also had Rashad Bateman. And he was kind of the big name guy coming out of the University of Minnesota that year. So they got me into the agent or into that pro day. And I ended up performing pretty well where Seattle noticed me. And then they later brought me out for a workout and then signed me after the workout.
And you signed with them. That was still during the off season.
Yeah, that was OTAs June. Okay. It was about midway through OTAs that I signed with Seattle.
And how did training camp and the preseason and all that work out for you in Seattle? I think you got cut. I think, was it in the final cutdowns that they let you go?
Yep. Yeah. So I made it through all the preseason games, played in all three. And honestly, everything went really well. Training camp went well. I did enough to stick around, but kind of on the exit meetings, the coaches said I would have had to be pretty much perfect to make the team just with the numbers and the roster, how it was built. So unfortunately, didn't have a super productive preseason. I did well, but didn't really put a ton of stats out there. So that was probably the lower part for me. But I mean, I got to play football again, got my kind of first sniff of NFL football. It is a really good experience overall.
You know, you said you did well. I'm sure you had questions, you know, when you started the whole process with Seattle about where you would fit in and how well you might do. I mean, obviously you have confidence in yourself because you kept pursuing the dream, but, you know, but was there a point, you know, maybe during that process where you thought, you know, I really think I can do this?
Yeah, definitely. Just like being 100% realistic, I knew I wasn't going to get signed to the active roster right away. I was kind of just shooting for one of those practice squad spots and then hopefully just give myself a chance later in the year. But once I got to camp with Seattle and I was kind of going against those defensive backs, I knew I wasn't out of place. I knew I belonged. I was good enough to be an NFL receiver, and that kind of gave me some more confidence in the situation where it's like, you know, I belong here, so why not just keep giving myself the best chance to get on an NFL field on Sundays?
When they eventually did let you go, they did not add you to their practice squad, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I had a pretty good interview. And they gave me good feedback and kind of said that they were looking to potentially add me. And then it just ended up not working out with the numbers.
And did you wonder at that point if it was over, if someone else was going to give you another opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough business to be in where you don't really know. Fortunately for me, about a week after I was released from Seattle, my agents called and told me that the Giants had reached out and they wanted to bring me out for a workout. So I actually worked out for the Giants about a week after those final cuts, and they didn't sign me right away. But fortunately for me, it worked out later, about 6-7 weeks later during the season, that they signed me and flew me back out so I could join the team and be on the practice squad.
Yeah, that's a great example of fans look at these workouts every week and they look at, you know, we see the names and then we see guys don't get signed. And I think that's a lot of what teams are doing, is they're checking in or touching base with guys that maybe they don't need this week, but, you know, but maybe they'll want, you know, or they might need a little bit down the road. So that worked out for you. Did you have any other opportunities, other than the Giants at that point?
Nope, that was my only workout after getting released from Seattle.
And so you spend roughly half the season on the practice squad with the Giants. Obviously, at the end of the season, there's regime change with the Giants. There's a new GM that comes in. There's a new coaching staff that comes in. But you still get signed to a futures contract. You still get an opportunity to come in and compete this time around. How much did that mean to you, you know, that a new regime, you know, brought you in and gave you another opportunity in New York?
I mean, it felt really good just knowing that I was going to get another chance to go in and prove what I have. And obviously having a new coaching staff, it's kind of exciting because it's a fresh look. You know, I go into Seattle and I'm playing catch up with the playbook, come and join the Giants halfway through the season. And you're playing catch up again. So when you find out you have new coaches and stuff, it's pretty encouraging to be able to learn the playbook alongside everyone else. And knowing that they were willing to keep me and give me a chance the next year is obviously very encouraging.
Does it feel like maybe it leveled the playing field for you a little bit?
Yeah, I would say it definitely gives me an equal opportunity with everyone else opposed to kind of playing catch up. Because a lot of times those coaches have prior relationships to their receivers, especially when you come in late, where I would say, if you're not a kind of priority free agent signing, you might not really have that same chance. But I would say this year, it's definitely all up, you know, up in the air and kind of goes to whoever's going to perform well in training camp and do well in preseason.
And, you know, a lot of Giants fans, you know, haven't seen you play. You know, I haven't seen you play other than what I've seen in practices and things like that, that I've been fortunate enough to attend. You know, you're a bigger guy, but how do you describe your skill set? How would you describe, you know, what you can bring, you know, to an NFL receiving core.
Yeah. I mean, I think I bring a lot of physicality. Obviously, like you said, I'm a bigger guy and I kind of have to play into my strengths. So catch the ball really well, very physical, and I work really hard. So that's kind of what I pride myself on.
When you're 6'4", 212, something like that?
Yeah, I'm probably close to like 215, 220.
Yeah, so definitely one of the bigger receivers in camp for the Giants.
Yep.
So just tell me a little bit about your, just your thoughts on this offense, on this playbook that Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are putting together, and what that looks like for, you know, for a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. Daboll and Kafka come in and they kind of bring a new energy to the offense. And you just got to hope that they're going to set everyone up for the best success possible, which from what I've seen so far, it seems like they're really going to do. So they kind of give guys confidence to play into their strengths, and they'll make it really exciting for some big plays.
And you, obviously OTAs, mini camps, spring practices, you guys are in shorts and t-shirts, and there's not much physicality and, you know, competition from the defensive backs. And that's by design, because nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to go full out at that point of the year. But you had a lot of opportunities. Kenny Golladay, you know, basically was sidelined through most of OTAs. Sterling Shepard was sidelined. Kadarius Toney, you know, was sidelined. I don't think Colin Johnson took very many reps. So you got a lot of extra opportunity. From what I could see, do you feel like you took advantage of those as much as you can in that kind of a setting?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the name of the game in football is, you know, it's always that next man up where there's going to be injuries, and that's just the fact of the sport is there's going to be injuries, and you just got to be ready to take advantage of the opportunity. So I was able to get a lot of reps first and second team during the off season, and I mean, it gave me a lot of experience, gave me a lot of reps with different quarterbacks. So I would definitely say it was beneficial to me, just kind of getting me out on the field a lot more and being able to kind of stack that.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that I always say is that guys at that time of year, they can't make the team. They can't necessarily lose a spot on the team, but maybe what they can do is put themselves in a better position to get more looks once training camp starts, once the more competitive. So you feel like you were able to do that?
Yeah, I would definitely say it's just kind of a never-ending evaluation process from the coaches. So anytime you can do something positive, I think it's always going to help you out in the long run.
And is there something that you're trying to prove in training camp, or you just go out there and try to do your best every day and see where it falls?
Yep, I think just kind of go out there, get better every single day, and just give yourself the best chance to be looked at by coaches and hopefully make it on a team.
And, hopefully things will work out for you. Do you you have a backup plan if it doesn't work out?
I wouldn't really say there's much of a backup plan. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunities, and I know I'll be successful in many different walks of life just due to my nature of working hard and taking advantage of opportunities. But I'm not really focused on anything like that right now, and obviously just kind of focused on going into training camp, working my butt off, and giving myself a good chance.
Well, hopefully, Travis, hopefully things work out well for you. Hopefully, hopefully you at least get a chance to stick around on the practice squad again and take advantage of an opportunity if you don't make the 53. Really, really appreciate you spending a few minutes, and hopefully I'll get a chance to say hello in person here in a couple of weeks when you guys get started.
Yep, definitely. I'm sure I'll see you at camp.
All right. Hey, Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Travis, thank you for the time. Please remember, Giants fans, to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you. Bye-bye.